Open lines for you now right here on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we'll take your text questions as well. While we're reminiscing, I found what I loved as a kid about 2 months ago. Are you sitting down for this? My very favorite candy bar. I don't eat a lot of candy at all. At all. But for some reason, I went on this search because I could not remember the name of this candy bar. And I went nuts. I was obsessed with it. But I found it. I don't know if you remember these. Sky Bar candy bars. They're made, they've got four different flavors in the same bar. They kind of like break off. Fudge, caramel, peanut, and vanilla nougat. And they're all great. They all taste great. But it's my favorite candy bar as a kid. I found it. There's a company that still makes them. The original company. And so I bought a box of them, and they showed up as a huge box. And every once in a while, I will do that. It's my one little vice. But I found it. I don't know about you, if you ever found your favorite candy bar that they used to make as a kid. A lot of these places still have them. As a matter of fact, I then found a company online that does this, and they have all the old stuff. I don't know if they're still making it or if somebody saved it. I guess it's pretty fresh. Strange. But anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your open line calls. I've got some terrifying couple sentence horror stories I'm going to read off to you, and then we'll get going with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Somebody emailed me some of these horror two sentence stories. Thought I'd read just a few of them here, then we'll go to your calls. And dim down the lights if you're at home. And if you're driving, just relax as you drive. But here they are. Here's the first one. I woke up to hearing knocking on glass. At first, I thought it was the window until I heard it come from the mirror again. Is that spooky? The last thing I saw was my alarm clock flashing 12:07. Before she pushed her long, rotting nails through my chest, her other hand muffling my screams. I sat bolt upright, relieved it was only a dream. But as I saw my alarm clock, it read 12:06. I heard my closet door creak open. That one's kind of creepy. Growing up with cats and dogs, I got used to the sounds of scratching at my door while I slept. Now that I live alone, it's much more unsettling. In all of the time that I've lived alone in this house, I swear to God, I've closed more doors than I've opened. How many of us have done that? Here's my favorite. A girl heard her mom yell her name from downstairs. So she got up and started to head down. As she got to the stairs, her mom pulled her into her room and said, I heard that too. That's spooky. She asked why I was breathing so heavily. I wasn't. There's another one. I awoke to the sound of the baby monitor crackling with a voice comforting my firstborn child. As I adjusted to a new position, my arm brushed against my wife, sleeping next to me. You know, that's real. People are, for internet-based baby monitors, people are hacking into them, controlling cameras, scaring little babies, scaring parents. It's unbelievable. I always thought my cat had a staring problem. She always seemed to be fixated on my face. Until one day, I realized that she was always looking just behind me. Cats do that. There's nothing like the laughter of a baby. Unless it's 1 a.m. and you're home alone. I was having a pleasant dream when what sounded like hammering woke me. After that, I could barely hear the muffled sound of dirt covering the coffin over my own screams. That's kind of freaky. Well, I began tucking him into bed, and he tells me, Daddy, check for monsters under my bed. So I look underneath for his amusement, and I see him Another him under the bed, staring back at me, quivering and whispering, "Daddy, there's somebody on my bed." That's creepy. You get home, tired after a long day's work, ready for a relaxing night alone. You reach for the light switch, but another hand is already there. She went upstairs to check on her sleeping toddler. The window was open. The bed was empty. I don't like that one. Scary, but I don't like it. And there was a picture in my phone of me sleeping. I live alone. That's freaky, too. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Open lines now. Mike is in Wolf Point, Montana, west of the Rockies. Mike, any of those scare you?
Huh?
Any of those scare you?
Nah, not too bad.
Nah.
I just wanted to ask a question. If you don't think that maybe we made a mistake in the 70s by abandoning the Apollos, you know, our deep space manned missions, you know, where we could have been today had we continued on.
Oh, we made a huge mistake stopping the Apollo program and stopping our manned missions to the moon. We could have been on Mars by now. Huge mistake. I mean, we've talked about that on this program over the years. We really don't, as Bob Zimmerman says, we don't have a space program now. You know, we'll send some robotics up. That's about it. We have to rely on the Russians to take our astronauts up to the International Space Station. And keep in mind, all this was done, getting to the moon, with 40-plus-year-old technology. Unbelievable what they could be doing today if we had just kept the pace up. We lost a lot of momentum there. We've got Jerry in Oklahoma City. Still, you getting earthquakes out that way, Jerry? You got a lot there.
Actually, George, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And sorry, I missed your last guest there. But yes, actually, quite a lot of small earthquakes, even at my home.
Oh, geez.
A lot of ones, twos, and threes. And I appreciate when you mention earthquakes. Just to stay on that line, when you mention them, and stuff like Yellowstone and so forth, and you have those guests on for the news as well as follow-on, I appreciate that greatly. I wanted to ask you something, George. It was very nice when you had Ian Punnett on just recently.
Yeah, I wanted to do an update. You know, he's an old friend, and he's gone through a lot medically, and I wanted everybody to at least hear his voice again.
Yes, that's great. Now, I don't know if we would hear his voice in this concept, but if there'd be some time where you could update us on how Art is doing and the other A-Bells, is he doing well in retirement and so forth?
That'd I guess he is. I'm not sure. He doesn't communicate that much with us. He's got, I'm told, a Facebook account. Keith, his webmaster, has got a website going where he has people are doing internet-based radio shows and stuff on that. So that, I guess, for Keith is doing well. I haven't heard anything negative. So that's good.
Well, if you could look in on him, check in on him on our behalf, I'm sure we'd like to hear that. I did like your short liners that you had there. I was kind of go with the idea of the you were doing a call out for us to mention some of our hosts that we've had in the local area
yeah.
and so forth. And the one I had was John Ferguson, known under the persona of Count Gregor in central Oklahoma. He's been doing that always from the 50s, and then he's even still in acting and so forth, and is now still one of our honored guests at our local fan-supported, you know, science fiction fantasy literary convention, and we enjoyed that, and I got the chance to meet a lot of the guests that
a lot of
the actors that your guest had, and that he's pulling into his project. And that's one of the pleasures of being on staff with conventions and so forth. And believe me that your shows do come up when it comes to these science fiction fantasy conventions.
No, they're great times.
Bring up your endeavors as well as, of course, Art's efforts in the past.
Thing.
So
Well, thank you. What, by the way, what's your favorite candy bar as a kid?
Mine was always Kit Kats and a squirt soda is always what I was into in a great way.
Love Kit Kats, too. I would say they're my the Baby Ruths I like, the Kit Kats, but these Sky Bars, you've got to try those. They're unbelievable.
I'll have to try those, but I always, the thing with the Kit Kats, I was always, as a kid, I was trying to take them apart and have and eat them by layer.
The little wafers.
Exactly.
I love it. Hey, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Tom's got a text for us. What do you got, Tom? Who is it?
I'm still laughing about Sky Bars because you and your obsession with them.
I love those things.
You actually ordered a case.
Yeah, I had 24 in there.
This one is from Sherry in Washington, D.C. She says, George, I think evil is following me around. All week I've had a scared, nervous feeling. Any suggestions on what I can do?
Ooh. Well, gosh, you should try to call in, Sherry, if you can. Hey, you've got her number on that phone, don't you?
There's a million on there, but I'm sure I could look.
If you could find it again, because I know it doesn't stop. As a matter of fact, I'll answer this, but just so everybody knows your dilemma with that phone. We held it up once to the microphone. It doesn't stop.
No, it
doesn't. Just keeps. So if you're reading a text and you're trying to get it to get ready for the show, it's gone.
Yeah.
By 25 other text messages, right?
Right. And then plus people send in like two-parters. So I'll get to a really good one. I'll be reading it. This is interesting. And then I can't find the other part of it.
But in terms of her, evil?
Yeah.
Evil could be following her. But I don't know what she did. Did she play with a Ouija board? Did she do something bad at one time? I don't think evil just picks up and starts following people or chasing people or possessing people. I think you have to do something. You have to invite them in, or you've got to let your guard down. You know, a lot of people, if they drink too much, evil can come and get them that way. They can get possessed. I don't think it just shows up, right? If you're a good person, I don't think it just pops up. Do you?
What was the movie with the evil, the one low budget, made $1 million? Know what I'm talking about. They did three of them where the evil was in the house.
I don't know.
Oh, you know, come on. Anyway.
You'll find it.
I think it can attack people for no reason, but I think she should go see a priest or somebody.
Maybe if she's Catholic.
You just get some advice because that always helps people mentally, you know?
Yep. Back to the phones we go. Thanks. We'll get another text from you in the next half hour, and then two more next hour as well. Justin in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Justin. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
George, good evening, sir.
Hello there.
Hey, you and your guest, I believe his name was Mark, were talking about old sci-fi hosts, and I wanted to share a little something from Cleveland, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you spent some time in Detroit, or you're from Detroit.
Born in Detroit, left there when I was 28 years old, so I was there for a long time.
Perfect. So I hope and I believe you'll know who I'm talking about. Viola Gulardi.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was a big sci-fi host. Now, I'm only 27 years old, so I didn't have the pleasure of listening to his show, but I did a little broadcasting earlier in my life, and in broadcasting school, we studied him. And we studied those B-rated or those B-graded horror movies that he'd play on Friday night. He had a show called Shock Theater. And it sounds like you're familiar with them, but the other guests or the other listeners, fire it up on YouTube. Check it out. It's funny. It's still relevant today.
They were classics.
It's great. And he still plays a big part in programming here in Cleveland. They run some of the old spots on the news station, on the channel he was at, and Drew Carey from Cleveland was a big Gulardi fan. So sometimes when he's out in public, he'll have the Gulardi shirt on. And it's just something cool that Cleveland was able to have that host. And when I'm in different cities, I bring it up, and a lot of people know who he is.
I think the company that at that time owned the television station, one of them that I worked at in Detroit, also owned that one in Cleveland because they had a lot of similar talent. Do you remember a company called Storer Broadcasting?
Oh, absolutely. I don't remember it, but I studied it, yeah.
Yeah, I think they own that station in Cleveland because they own the one in Detroit at that
time.
You're right.
And it was Channel 8 here.
Yep.
You're exactly right. And I always thought not only did he have his own unique and, you know, kind of crazy guy persona, but I always thought it was interesting that it lived on. I mean, 30, 40, 50 years later, whatever, you know, whatever it'll be, we're still talking about him, and he still has an impact on programming here. So I thought that was really neat.
Cool.
I thought you might like to hear about it.
Favorite candy bar as a kid?
Reese's, okay. And the interesting thing about that is, to this day, I still try to find different ways to eat it. So do I start at the bottom? Do I start at the top? You know, but it all tastes the same.
I love it. I love it. You know, we have events all over the country, and we have contracts in some cases. And Tom was telling me that there's a certain rock group that they're convinced that the people that put on venues don't read agreements or don't read contracts. So they would put in the contract, must have a bowl of blue M&Ms or brown M&Ms or whatever the color is, just to see if these people read the contract. And these groups would get to the event, and they would not see the M&Ms there. And they'd realize, you know what, this whole thing is not going to work out right. But it was an interesting take. You can even use candy for that. Let's go to Al in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hello, Al. Thank you for holding and calling.
George, I can't believe this. I'm waiting 20 years to call, and the caller before me trumped my call.
No.
Yeah, I was going to call you about Gagliardi.
Well, do it again.
Did you ever watch him? Did you ever watch him when you were a kid?
He was great. He was great. You know, I watched Sir Graves Ghastly a lot and Morgus, but Gagliardi, he was funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a great character. Ernie Anderson played him. He actually moved out to L.A., and he did a lot of voiceovers and stuff. He wanted to go out there and act. Actually, it was Tim Conway from Chagrin Falls who actually did a lot of guest spots on his show. And Tim Conway actually talked Ernie Anderson into going out to the West Coast.
That's cool.
Do some acting. And, of course, he wound up doing a lot of voiceovers, such as for the Love Boat.
Uh-huh. That? That's right. That was him.
Yeah, that was him, yeah. And he was great. In fact, I don't know if you remember the chain of restaurants called Manners Big Boy.
I remember that.
Okay, they used to have a drink called the Big Gagliardi. It was a red, white, and blue drink that came like in a big milkshake glass, and it had a 3-foot straw, so you can put it on the table behind you and drink from the next table.
I bet they sold a lot of them in those days.
Oh, they did. But he worked for Storer Broadcasting, and management at the show was always up in their arms because he was always up against management, and they never knew what he was going to say or what he was going to do because it was live.
It was live. That's right. We didn't have tape delay then. I mean, it was out there for everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if you remember people like Mike Douglas from Cleveland.
Oh, sure. And then he went on to do his thing.
Yeah, well, he got kicked over to Philadelphia when they had that licensing problem in Cleveland.
Those were giants of the early days. Favorite candy bar before we hit the break. What was it?
Well, I was actually going to ask if I can get my address to your producers.
Right.
You can get me some of those Sky Bars.
I'll put you on hold. I will. I'll send you a couple if you'll eat them. I don't eat food, by the way. Don't mail me anything to eat. Ever since I got a fruitcake that was already half bitten, I don't do that. We'll be back. Well, it's time for our traditional Friday night shout out to those of you who listen to Coast on our more than 570 radio stations across North America. I think next week we might be adding a few more in New Jersey. I'll let you know if that happens. Coast Insiders, thank you for all you do. Don't forget, we've got our chat coming up on Tuesday. XM Talk, channel 104. And then how about the various chat rooms that are scattered all over the place? Our friends at Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery, IRC. Those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can do that if you haven't done it yet, go to coasttocoastam.com. Icons up there in the far right-hand corner. Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Open lines for you. Do you ever get addicted sometimes to really late night television? After our show, of course. And you buy those things that are up there on TV and you get them. I used to do that. I got to confess, I do that a little bit too. You see these things, and some of them are in stores now, and you order them, and they show up, And they work. They're amazing little things, little gizmos for all kinds of things, whether you want to do cooking or just strange things. But unbelievable what they do in terms of these things. But you know what? They're not made here, are they? And that's a problem. I'd love to do open lines one day about how many people shop online as opposed to going into a store now. I find myself slowly moving in that direction. Let's go to Doug in Naples, Florida to get us going on this segment. Hey, Doug.
Hey, George.
Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, I want to tell this story so long. I've been listening to you guys from 95 on.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to tell you this story. I had my sister, I was 10 years old. My sister's watching me, and Night Gallery's coming on.
Love it already.
All right. And it was, big, scary, and last. But anyway, my sister, she had to go to her friend's house across the street. I said, no, you can't go. You know, you can't go. And so I sat there and I got my, wrapped around my quilt and all that stuff and looked outside and watched this show, and it came on Phantom of the Opera. And the guy comes down with the girl and says, don't reveal what's behind this mask, you know? And the girl definitely comes up to him, grabs this mask and rips it off, and this hideous face is, whoa! And then he started choking the girl. And as he's choking her, his hands felt and it pulled out off the skin of the girl.
Oh,
and her face is horrible. And they looked at each other like, you know? And they started kissing like lovers. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
It was like it's like a Twilight Zone film episode.
And my sister called me up and said, Doug, you got to stop laughing. I can hear you all the way over here. I just wanted to tell you that story. It was funny as heck.
A classic. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. David is truck driving in Illinois. And welcome to the show, David.
Hi, George.
Hey. How are you in Illinois? What's going on out there?
No, a whole lot of nothing. Not a flat land.
All right. Well, you be careful. What's going on?
I got something to wrap your head around. The Big Bang Theory, you had a guest on a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of controversy about doing a simulated Big Bang Theory here in the United States, and it didn't. I think it was on TV, too. They did it, and it was successful. He was saying that the Big Bang Theory, everything's constantly evolving and expanding. What would you think about the experiment that they've done, how long that would take to become something of its own?
I think, first of all, that they're going to do things like that at CERN as well. Now, this was a very mini little experiment, of course. There was always that concern, though, what was going to happen. Even when they did CERN in Switzerland, people thought they were going to make mini black holes that could one day just swallow us whole. Hasn't happened yet. Who knows? But I'm not a big fan of the Big Bang Theory. I just have a very difficult time. I'm kind of pragmatic, trying to comprehend how some minute little tiny particle, so small, got so compressed and exploded, ignited to what we see in the universe today. I just can't figure it out. And it's something I just don't accept. Tom's up the back there in the LA studios, which is right around the corner from where I am.
It is, right across the window. This is from Ann in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, George, love the show. I wanted to ask you your take on the Donald Sterling story. Although I firmly believe what he said was wrong, I have to acknowledge that we all have freedom of speech. Should he have been penalized?
Well, you got to understand the context. That's a story, of course, we haven't touched on Coast to Coast because I let the mainstream folks do what they have to do.
It's all over
the place. Since Ann is asking, I might as well comment on it. First and foremost, I believe he was illegally taped, and that's going to be an issue for whomever did it, the girl maybe, and there's going to be a real problem there. There's accusations of extortion and everything else. Secondarily, he was a moron to say what he said, whether he was being taped or not. I mean, you know, times have changed. And, you know, the racism like that it should be out the window a long, long time ago. Look, I went through the 60s. I saw the riots in Detroit. I was alive when Martin Luther King got assassinated. You know, as I got older into the news business, I realized, as the King family realizes, that James Earl Ray was not the assassin, that there was a bigger picture there. Mm-hmm. And I just think he was an idiot doing what he did. He was taped illegally. Now we talk about the punishment. That's the thing. I think, out of common respect, the guy should bow out and sell the team.
Yes, agree.
You know, now he contends and that the wife contends that she's a 50% owner, that she hasn't done anything wrong, and she has not. How do you force her to sell? You know, it's like if you and I were partners, Tom, in some business, and, you know, I screwed up and they wanted me out, they can't penalize you.
Right.
You know, you didn't do it. But so that's kind of a muckety thing right there. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I think Ann's
But I think he should sell it.
I think Ann's point is, though, the guy has freedom of speech, but when freedom of speech hurts people, then it's a different story. So
freedom of speech can be taken a little too long. Those are his views. That's how he feels. He was probably raised that way. That's him. And, you know, he probably shut up around people most of the time. Yet there are some people who say, nah, he's been this way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I just think in this day and age,
you can't do it.
You can't do it. And you know what? When are we going to stop looking at people for race and color? I mean, we're human beings. Yeah. We occupy this planet. And yes, we're all different. Because my theory is we all came from other extraterrestrial races.
Anyway.
You know what? But, you know, enough is enough. But, I mean, I just think that it take his $500 or $600 million pre-tax profit and go away. You know,
you'd make a lot of people happy.
Go away. But we'll see what happens.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Next up, let's go to whose turn? Who's been on hold? Let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Barry, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, George. What a pleasure. Well,
there
buddy.
You
Barry
are.
Calling.
Where have
South
you been?
Carolina. For, was a long time listener, frequent caller.
Yes, you are.
But listen, I'm just having a ball listening to the show tonight. It's a great, great show. And the first couple of hours, we talked about the Twilight Zone. And, you know, you and I have talked on several occasions about Ed Leaf's comment at the
Coral
Castle down
That's
in
right.
Homestead, Florida. I always thought, George, that would make a great episode on the Twilight Zone.
Oh, good idea. I do, too.
Yeah, Tommy said the same thing. He said, that is a good idea, but I wish that show would come back on. You know, it'll never come back like it was, but it can be done again. But Billy Meaney, you were talking about him, too. What a great, great kid he is. And I'm glad you and he got to be friends and so forth. But just wanted to say hello, and I hope to see you. Matter of fact, are you going to be here? George, I'm by about 20 minutes from downtown Charlotte, North Carolina, and you're going to be there next month.
I'm going to be there in June.
Do you remember the date that you're going to be there?
It's a private event before some corporate leaders, so I don't know if they're going to let the public in or not. I'm going to fly in that day. It's a Monday. It's June 2nd. Fly in, do the event, and then fly back to St. Louis to do the show that night. But you know what? There are other events that Tom's working on, so I may get back to Charlotte.
Well, I was telling Tommy that I'm heading out that way, trailer trucking with a friend of mine that drives a truck, hauls strawberries out of California to the East Coast. And I'm going to come by the station and just say hello to you guys one afternoon before you go on there. And Just keep it up, George. This is just the greatest show on the air, and I just I can't wait. I take my naps at 9 o'clock at night, so I can set the alarm for one to get up, listen from 1 to 5.
Let me tell you one funny story. I'm on the air at midnight in St. Louis. We've got the studio in the cave, and I got there early, pre-prepped it, went out and got something to eat, met some friends, came back, got there about 11:30. I'm ready to go. I've got my chairs there. I got my studio there. I've got everything. It's 10 minutes before 12, and I'm exhausted for some reason. It just hits me. I close my eyes, and I wake up, and I hear the Coast to Coast theme going. Danny's playing it, and I'm going, oh, my God, I almost slept through this show. What a nightmare. What a nightmare.
Fantastic.
Thank God I woke up. I heard that theme song going and scared the living daylights out of me. Barry, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's take some more calls, and then we've got another hour to go of open lines before get a little nap, and then it's off to Denver, where I'm told Sunday they're expecting snow. Can you believe this? We're heading for the middle of May, and they're talking snow. So I may never get out of there. Amir is in Maine, and now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Amir.
Hey, how's it going, George?
It's fine. Thanks.
I was just calling when you were talking about the, like, scary stories and whatnot. Yeah, I think I know what that is. You know, I've been taught that since I was a child, me and the family I come from and stuff. And we believe they're, like, some type of demons. Kind of like how we humans live. They live in another dimension, but on this earth. And just like us, you know, they got leaders, they got religions, and, you know, all this stuff. But the only difference is that a full-grown demon, or whatever you want to call it, has a mind of a 10-year-old. That's why, like, for example, you see in the movies when, you know, they want to do an exorcism, like the demon starts getting mad like a little kid, you know,
like screaming. Like a kid does, yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
Exactly. And so the way you, because they say they have strength of like about 10 men, and the slowest one goes about 60 miles, they say, at least. And they come in all different shapes and sizes, and the main three forms I learned of is the dog kind of looking one, you know what I mean? Kind of like the Egyptian hieroglyphic.
Yep, yep.
The other one is the kind of like the reptilian lizard-looking ones. That's how you get the stories of the aliens.
I don't like those-looking ones.
Yeah, and they come, they know what you're scared of, they know what you want, and magic, matter of fact, is performed by using them. It's an illusion, and they actually, what they do is they can travel, like, to, they try to look kind of like the angels or what they're saying, and they go tell the person that they're working for, like, hey, this guy wants this, this, and that. And therefore, you'll pay him. He's like, well, he knows what's going on, but they really don't know. And when you see a shooting star, they're actually getting shot by one of the angels. That's why they say make a wish to see a shooting star. But, yeah, my point is that another form they come in is kind of like little small dwarf-looking ones.
Like leprechauns?
Exactly. And they actually do protect, you know, whatever they're there to protect. My father told me from where he's from back home, there's treasure all over where they're from like ancient battles from the Middle East out there somewhere. Yeah. And he told me one time that they were digging and there was like this little, I guess you can call it a leprechaun dwarf, and it was the scariest thing he's ever seen. And my uncle, you know, was like, it's no big deal. He tried to touch it, his arm, right when he tried to touch it, just stopped working. And within a week, he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Geez.
And there's like so many stories like this. And, yeah, so they always try to say that they're aliens or whatnot, but that's what it about is. And the Illuminati, Freemasons, or whatever you guys want to call them, the Kabbalah, that's all they work for. That's their whole thing, is bringing, like, Antichrist back and stuff, trying to speed it up, you know?
Well, who knows what the Cabal is up to these days? I've got to tell you about, this is a massively sized planet, and so many strange things happen on this planet. You have no idea. I mean, just bizarre things, things that are so real. I mean, you know, a story I had several weeks ago, somebody had been dead 6 months, in their apartment, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. Nobody checked on the person. I mean, just weird things that happen. How about the guy from Turkey? He goes on a television show and announces that he had killed two of his wives. I mean, unbelievable. And they let him out, some amnesty program. How do you let a guy like that out? And he's on this TV show bragging that he was looking for someone nice. Yikes. Who wants that? My God. Unbelievable. Couple little notes here for you before we hit the break, and then we'll come back with more open line calls for you. First of all, if you're not following us on Facebook, you know, it's the new social networking. We put a lot of information on there for you. Go to Facebook. You can get to it from our website. It's up in the right-hand corner. Click that and then just like us there. That's growing like crazy for us, by the way. And we just did a Facebook campaign, and we put down an ad about the zombie apocalypse of over 1.5 million hits already, just like that, of people looking at that. So people are interested in things like that. But also follow us on Twitter, because we constantly send out little messages and alerts, and it's just a great way to track us. All the news guests that you hear the first hour of the show, we have the information about them and their websites on Twitter. We don't have room for it on the main website. That's for the big guests and the longer guests, but we do a lot of that. And you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment. More open lines for you. Don't touch your dial.